Good morning. Can people hear me? My name is Brian Irish, and my presentation relates to the characterization of banana germplasm. So the research that I'm going to present was carried out at the USDA ARS Tropical Agricultural Research Station, which is located in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. The research station does carry out a lot of different projects, but we're going to focus on tropical fruits, and specifically in this presentation on bananas. Bananas are native to Asia and the Pacific and are economically important crops in different regions around the world. In Puerto Rico, they are very important, and I say that children are born in Puerto Rico with a plantain in their hand because plantains are very important in their culture and their cuisine. There's a couple dishes called mofongos and tostones that are really popular. Because bananas are important to the agricultural economy in Puerto Rico, we do carry out some research on bananas, and we have a germplasm collection that consists of around 200 different accessions. The collections are maintained in the field for characterization and in tissue culture as a backup and for distribution purposes. In the field, germplasm is evaluated for disease resistance and agronomic traits. The germplasm consists mostly of diploids, triploids, and synthetic man-made tetraploids of mostly cultivated germplasm. A common sight in Puerto Rico might be a truckload of plantains like this that have been harvested in the field and are being taken to the market. And another point that's interesting about Puerto Rico is it's one of the few agricultural crops that production meets the demand, so we don't rely on any importing of bananas or plantains. The germplasm collection consists mostly of edible cultivars, but there are some ornamentals and some wild species. The wild species are chock full of seeds, hard black seed like this, and it's obvious why humans played a significant role in selecting for parthenocarpic types. The germplasm evaluation, again, focuses on agronomic traits and disease resistance. This is just an example of a synthetic hybrid FIA 21 plantain substitute that is disease resistant and quite productive. The research being presented, again, is a collaborative research project with Bioversity International. I don't work for them, but I know a little bit about their history and who they are. So Bioversity International is a research for development organization. It's formed in 2006 by combining these two research organizations, IPCRI, International Plant Genetic Resources Institute, and INIBAB, the International Network for the Improvement of Banana and Plantains. Because they have a mandate to do research on bananas, they host the ITC, which is the International Tissue Culture Collection, or International Transit Center in Leuven, Belgium, where they host this tissue culture collection consisting of 1,400 banana accessions of wild and cultivated germplasm. Because, again, they're involved in a lot of banana research, they played a role in developing descriptors for bananas. They also host the MGIS, which is the MUSA Germplasm Information System database. ProMUSA, which is a knowledge sharing platform, and they coordinate this MUSANet, which is a global MUSA genetics resources network. Because Bioversity is involved in a lot of this banana research, they played a significant role in developing a global conservation strategy for MUSA. And one of the main objectives of this strategy is to comprehensively characterize and document genetic diversity, harmonize taxonomy, and rationalize different germplasm collections around the world. A taxonomic advisory group was formed, and they developed a taxonomic reference collection, or TRC. These consist of 34 accessions representing MUSA diversity. They were selected based, again, on representative of morphotaxonomic variation in bananas. They also were selected based on their availability, being able to be distributed from the ITC. They were virus index and they're negative. And you'll notice that the font here is red, because we'll come back to this point a little bit later in the presentation, but they were also declared true to type. They were field verified and made sure that they were true to type. So these 34 accessions were distributed to different countries, tropical regions around the world, to determine heritable and stable traits across environments. The map of the world showing tropical regions and the different countries that participated in this germplasm characterization, all the way from Tahiti in the Pacific to Cordobana in Costa Rica, us in the Caribbean region, different countries in Africa and in Asia. So the plants were received as in vitro propagated rooted tissue culture plantlets. They're greenhouse acclimatized, eventually taken to the field, and our field site is in Isabela, Puerto Rico, on our research farm. One of the points our collaborators were trying to make was that we should try to standardize across the different sites as much as possible our cultural and agronomic practices. So fertilization, irrigation, pest and disease management, even distance and plantings of the plot. So the 34 accessions were to be evaluated for two growing cycles, a mother crop and a first ratoon, and there was four plants of each one of the accessions. The data was to be summarized for each site and provided back to the biodiversity collaborators to, again, look at the variability in those traits or the lack of variability in those traits across different agroenvironments. Just an image of the greenhouse showing the plants being taken from tissue culture and planted in peat pots that we can take directly to the field once the plants reach a certain age, and the plastic cup is just to increase the humidity early on in the acclimation process. Obviously, the plants then were taken to the field. This field site, again, showing the irrigation lines as labels and stakes. I mentioned that there was four plants for every one of the accessions to be evaluated. So in the foreground of this picture, there's the one, two, three, four plants that look like each other that match. So the green, whitish pseudostems of a particular accession of the 34. So the plants were to be evaluated for two cycles. In the first cycle, we were to collect a set of 32 highly discriminating traits or descriptors. We use these color charts, and I'll show you a picture of them for those traits that involve color, obviously. We also took a minimum set of 15 different images at different developmental stages. Agronomic data was also collected, and so some of the examples of agronomic data include bunch weight, the number of fruits, and cycling times. During the second cycle, a much larger set of descriptors, 121 of them, were collected. And again, the agronomic data was collected, and during the entire experiment, we monitored, environmental data was collected and was monitored. These are examples of some of those 15 minimum images that we were supposed to take, different developmental stages and traits. I think there's 13 of the 15 in this picture, and obviously, this is not of a trait, but of the label, but then the plant, the pseudostem, the neck, the rachis, the bunch and its orientation and its inflorescence, and the peduncle, the male flower bud, third hand, the bracts, and flowers. Now, I'm a proponent of collecting data electronically, but 121 descriptors for that second cycle was very difficult to collect electronically, so we had traditional pen and paper. And the descriptors go from in different developmental stages, so the pseudostem, the leaves, eventually the bunch, the male, and eventually the flowers on this side. I mentioned the color chart, and this is a very sticky point, a point of contention between those of us who are collecting the data, because this is very subjective. You can't be colorblind to begin with, you know, to collect this. But, you know, holding this color chart in the shade, in the sun, you know, these different hues, it's quite difficult to agree. I mentioned that I'd come back to the point about plants being true to type. Unfortunately, even though they had been field verified, we did seem to have taken on some off types and maybe some somoclonal variants. Okay. So the plant on the left was supposed to be a plantain, never produced a pseudostem or an inflorescence, or much less a bunch. And on the right-hand side, again, another off type. Yeah, this is very exciting work. You know, to begin and see all the variation in traits for these 34 accessions was very, very interesting. On the top panel, we have the neck of the plant showing different descriptors and different traits and the variation. The middle picture is of the male flower bud, again showing a lot of differences, and the bottom is of ripe fruit. I'll highlight some of those differences. In the top, obviously color, waxiness, whether the plant has this wax or not. This one's quite waxy. How the petiole attached to the pseudostem, whether it had these blotches. In the male flower bud, descriptors included whether the rachis was bare or there was persistent bracts, like in this case, whether the bracts would revolute, whether they would roll back onto themselves or not. Imbrication meant whether the bracts met all at the end of the flower bud. They don't meet in this case. It's highly imbricated. They do meet in this case. The ripe fruit, short, long, seedy, seeded fruit here, red. One of the interesting ones was taste. You know, we got to taste all the ripe fruit, and some of them were quite astringent, starchy, you know, not eaten fresh out of hand, or not good to eat fresh out of hand. So to wrap up this work, again, interpreting of some of those descriptors is very difficult. Even though we had guidelines and we did read what it was trying to tell us to do, it was quite tough to do this. And so I'll skip to the second bullet under this and say that it was only obvious after we observed the full range of descriptors that we might have been collecting something incorrectly to begin with, and we had to go back and maybe modify some of the data that we collected. So, for example, on the rachis, there was whether the Brax scars were prominent or not. And it was only once we saw something that was very prominent that we had to go back maybe and correct some of the data that we'd done earlier. Bioversity hosted a workshop where several of the curators from those different countries came, and we got together and discussed some of the tough points of the evaluation. And first of all, it was very difficult to standardize cultural agronomic practices across sites. Everybody grows bananas differently. Language played a major role in how you would interpret a descriptor. I mean, even though it was written in English, and all collaborators from different countries and even us, you know, sometimes it was tough to interpret it. Some of the traits are stable. Some of them were definitely influenced by the environment, and some of them were definitely influenced by the data collector based on how they interpreted the descriptor. So in summary, our characterization has been completed. We've provided our data to our collaborators in Bioversity. We've also started loading the data and images into our GRIN database. So it will be loaded into the MGIS, which is the MUSA Germplasm Information System database, as well as the Germplasm Resources Information Network hosted by USDA MPGS. A guide with the summarized data is being published, and many of the accessions that were unique in the taxonomic reference collection have been incorporated into our germplasm collection, are available for distribution. And one of the reasons why we do this work is because we get to evaluate a lot of interesting germplasm. And one of these clones, Obino LY, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but is an African selection, a true plantain, and since plantains are so important in Puerto Rico, it performed very, very well in our evaluations, you know, large bunches of big fruit, and so we're going to take a look at that further in different evaluations. Okay, so it does conclude the presentation. I said that the germplasm collection was quite diverse. The people evaluating are as diverse as the germplasm collection. If there's any time for questions, I'd like to entertain them at this time.
One question.